Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be picking away, talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play, from the NBA to the NFL to college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever could try to go stop it, only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
All right, it's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio, as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's Mike and Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
Your number to call. Spent a loud hour, number one, talking NBA. We'll circle back to that hour, number three, because we've got a cavalcade of NBA guests. Jason Terry, Big Three, will join us. We'll talk about that and also about free agency. And then Reed Forgrave is going to join us to close out the program at 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time, 5:40 Pacific, Taz. But we kick off this hour, mix a little baseball into the conversation. Cool. And, you know, a couple things, you know, from a, you know, New York perspective, because it's generated headlines. Number one, how about the Mets, right? You know, their bullpen blows another game last night down in Philadelphia. And it's almost become kind of deja vu, like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Every day is the same day because it's just the same deal. The offense gives the bullpen the lead. The starter pitches decently. And Vargas was very, very good last night for the Mets. And then you hand it off to the bullpen with a 4-2 lead, and they can't hold on to it. And they end up losing the game in extra innings in 10 as Jay Bruce has a walk-off double over Juan Lagares' head. That drives in Rhys Hoskins with the game-winning run for the Philadelphia Phillies as they'll wrap up that series this afternoon down in Philadelphia. But after the game, as we discussed earlier in the week, right, surrounding the Mets, not only are they losing and what are they, 6-7 games under the 500 mark now, and they fall farther and farther out of the NL East race, what transpired on Sunday out at Wrigley Field in Chicago where you had the manager get into it with Tim Healy from Newsday, curse him out. Then Jason Vargas had to be held back as he threatened to knock Healy out. Then the team addressed the media on Monday. Callaway, first and foremost, wouldn't apologize. They sent him back out to apologize. We played the Vargas clip in which he basically said it was didn't apologize, said it was regrettable. I believe it was the term that he used. At the time, after the Mets had fined both Vargas and Callaway, they issued a statement Sunday night. Jeff Wilpon called Healy to personally apologize to him. And then we get to the Vargas start, and his reaction was asked about it last night.
Well,
before we play that audio.
Yeah, I just want to say this. During the game, I watched the whole Met game, unfortunately. And I can't recall the inning, but I got to tell you, and it was very refreshing. I mean, Gary Cohen, I mean, they did a couple on cameras while he did it. He, you know, for those that don't know, he's the esteemed play-by-play guy for the Mets. He does a great job, him, Hernandez, and Ron Darling. But anyway, Gary Cohen, man, he, while Vargas was on the hill, pitching well yesterday, to your point, he basically laid it all out like you did and basically said that this guy here, Vargas, has yet to apologize. And it's, he had a hot take. Rare that you get a play-by-play guy doing TV, right? He was like, he was ticked by it. And he gave his opinion. It was very refreshing to hear a play-by-play, a guy, you know, on TV, you know, who gets paid by the Mets, saying what he said. It was very interesting.
I thought, I don't know if you heard it, but I did hear it.
Yeah.
I was at SNY last night. I did hear it. So yeah, I thought Gary did a nice job.
He did. I think he
certainly played to the masses. I think everyone's looking for Vargas to apologize. And you often don't see, and that's when a team is going bad, Taz. You have an opportunity as a TV guy to be able to go on that kind of a diatribe, right? Because if they were winning games, you're talking about the Mets winning games, right?
So,
but yes, you're right. I thought Cohen did a nice job last night. Vargas after the game. Gets asked a question by Dave Lennon, Newsday, who's the national baseball columnist for Newsday locally in New York. Same paper that Tim Healy works for, was asked the question about, the Sunday incident and apologized. Take a listen.
It was an unfortunate confrontation. I don't think all the information was really out there. I don't think that this is the time to get into that. But I think that, anybody that knows me or anybody that's played with me and through the duration of my career, there's never been a situation like that. So to think that it just happened out of the blue would be foolish.
Still didn't apologize.
No, he didn't apologize, and then was asked about why don't you explain yourself? He said, "Well, it's over. The team issued a statement.
Vargas is moving on.
Well, and Taz, me personally, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah,
like,
me
and,
too.
And I think the Met fan is ready to move
yes,
on.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
I think there does come a point in time where. And I'm not telling you Vargas' behavior was great. It wasn't. I'm not telling you that Monday, I thought it was comical. He acquitted himself all that well as a professional athlete. He did not. But I also think that people at this stage don't care. I mean, I do think that there does come a point in time where, where what we do, sometimes we hang on to things and not looking and reading the tea leaves a little bit. I think you're playing more so a case to your own personal edification than you are to the masses, because I don't think there's a lot of Met fans out there that are saying, oh my God, such a bad guy. Why won't Vargas I think the Met fan last night was hopeful. Vargas, who's pitching to an under 2.6 ERA in the month of June.
Yeah, I'm surprised how good he is.
He's been absolutely fantastic and was great again last night.
Yeah.
I do think at some point there's going to be no contrition. There's going to be no apology. He tried to cut the story off at the knees once again went last night when he was asked upon. I think it's time for everyone to just move on.
Correct. I agree with you. As a Met fan, everything you just said, and you're not a Met fan, but you're on point. You're right. Everything you said. Here's the thing. The guys in the media, now when I say the guys or the people, I shouldn't say the guys, the men and women in the media that cover the games daily, okay, that go, and I'm talking about New York media, that cover the Mets. They're going to ask Vargas, they're going to ask Mickey as much as possible, because they feel those people, those men and women that do this every day on the road and clubhouses and pressers and all this jazz, they're offended. They're pissed about it because one of their brethren got threatened. I guess that's what it is. I mean, all I'll say is we weren't there. You and I weren't there. Who knows what happened? Who knows if this
and
guy...
I don't know the history between Vargas and Healy.
We don't know.
But Vargas did say last night is correct. He's not... There's been no issues with Jason Vargas that
his
I know
His whole
of.
Career.
His whole career.
No, there's been none, except for his really bad haircut. So,
right.
That all being said, he's not... Now, the thing is that makes it rough for Vargas, too, is the team apologized, the manager didn't apologize, then he came out and apologized. We went over that yesterday, I think it was. So it kind of makes... You almost make your squad, your team, your organization almost look a little disingenuous because you're not apologizing. That's where it could get a little funky, So
I could see that. But I also think if you look at the individual, because I think there's a lot of layers to it, Taz, he's a guy on an island by himself, right? The guy, the pitching coach, Island, who was his pitching coach out in Kansas City, that vouched for him to bring him aboard was fired last week.
Right.
Everybody ripped for the better part of the first 5-6 weeks of the regular season, Taz, ripped Vargas, saying the Mets have got to get rid of him, get him off the team. Cut him, DFA him, he stinks, this and that.
You know me, I wasn't too happy with him.
No, listen, we talked about the time. He was pitching terribly. Yeah, so, you know, there wasn't a lot of support in that Met franchise. Yeah, so there was a lot of support for Vargas, right, at that time, right? And he has turned his season around.
He really has.
And he has been great. And I think you could right now look at him. He's the second best Met pitcher on that staff, right? Yeah. The one that you trust right behind Jacob DeGrom. You don't trust Wheeler. You don't trust Syndergaard. I know he's recovering.
He's in Brooklyn.
Latest stint on the IL, right? Yeah. You don't trust Steven Matz.
No, don't even say that name.
You trust Jason Vargas right now, so he's a little bit angry.
Yeah, he's got a chip on his shoulder.
He's got a chip on his shoulder.
I love Vargas now.
No, I get it, but Taz, he's saying to himself, you know, I didn't punch the guy. Right. I threatened the guy, right? I was protecting my manager. He's talking about that there's more to the story that's come out, but he doesn't want to add more fuel to the fire. He doesn't want to add another layer to it to where it does continue. He said the Mets, you know, the organization issued a statement. They fined both Vargas and Mickey Callaway.
$10,000. But, I know Vargas. It was $10,000 for Vargas. I don't know if Mickey got $10,000.
I think it was the same for – Maybe it was.
That's the max they were able to fine Vargas was $10,000.
Same for both. So it was the same fine for both of them. And now he's pitching with a chip on his shoulder. He's pitching great. And you know what? He's going to carry that anger right now, and he's going to continue to do it. And he, at this stage, he's not signed past this year, so why does he need to...
He feels like he's like,
what do I need to apologize for?
He's sticking to his guns.
Right. He's basically going to tell you, I'm not going to apologize. Right. I don't feel like I need to apologize. Because you guys are telling a story that isn't wholeheartedly completely true. And I wasn't there. You weren't there.
No.
We've heard a lot of people vouch for Tim Healy. I don't know Tim Healy all that well. I really don't. Aside from interviewing him a couple times on radio, that's basically it. So I don't know the young man all that well. I'm not going to tell you that I do when I don't. Taz, from Vargas's perspective, does he feel the need that he needs to now throw himself at the mercy of the Mets media or the media in New York City? He feels like he doesn't.
No, he does not. He does not, because he would have done it already. He doesn't care what anybody says. You know, if it's Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling, you, me, anybody from Newsday or wherever, what he said to the guy, you know, he basically, you know, threatened to drop the guy, you know, in the clubhouse. And so now he almost has a feel now, which is weird. Like he's like a badass. Like he's
hard-ass Joe.
You know, you know what I mean? Like kind of, he's got a vibe on him now with that bad hairdo.
Right.
Like he's a tough guy. No, I kind of like it.
And, you know, if he continues to pitch well, Taz, that's all you care about.
I'll keep loving him.
That's all you care about.
Even though we keep losing.
Right.
No, but you're right. You're right.
If he pitches well and the Mets win some baseball games, that's all that matters. And let's also not look at it. I mean, there's a history of this Met franchise. He's not Brett Saberhagen spraying bleach at reporters, right? he's not doing anything of that, right? This is not, what was it, Vince Coleman who was throwing firecrackers at reporters? I mean, it's none of that. So this isn't Bobby Bonilla saying, I'll show you the Bronx. This is not the 86 Mets.
Right.
They won a championship, more known for maybe not fulfilling they're as talented of a team as they were. They didn't reach their expectations, Taz. Were they the friendliest group of guys in the world that you walked into that room and those were the guys that you wanted to hang around with? Maybe they're the guys you wanted to party with. But they weren't the friendliest group. So, Vargas, it's not the worst thing that anyone's ever done in a Met uniform.
No.
But unfortunately, Taz, what happens with here is that now it's the focus because the team stinks.
Well,
and the
bullpen
is bad.
Right.
And they're playing poorly. And they've got a manager that you know the general manager doesn't believe in. And the bullpen isn't getting any better. It's the same repeated story time and time again. So that does not help this Vargas story go away. Because how many times can you talk about how bad the bullpen is?
Well, exactly. And because then, let's just say after what happened with the Cubs on Sunday with this whole incident, you know, with this reporter from Newsday, this guy Healy and stuff, with Mickey Callaway and with Vargas and all this jazz, if this would have acted as a spark and they would have went into Philadelphia and started winning games to the point you're making, this would have all kind of went away. Like, wow, you know what? It was a negative thing that happened. But you know what? They rallied together, the Mets organization, and pitcher stuck by the manager and went at a guy in the media verbally, whatever. And it was a spark. You know,
yeah,
which is not a spark because they went to Philadelphia. They just keep losing, you know. So it's like they sit now. They're what 11 games back, you know, behind the Braves, you know, in the NL East. I mean, just right now sitting, the Mets are sitting 37-44, right above a really bad Marlins team, and we're a really bad Mets team. So it's just 11 games back, and that's just, you know, it's horrible.
Yeah, and that's the problem you have. I mean, and that's why this story continues to have legs. But I think now, Taz, if it didn't go away before yesterday, don't you think it now has to go away? Do you think Vargas is going to get asked another question about apologizing? Do you think, you know, they play an afternoon game today in Philadelphia? Do you think he gets another question about it?
I do. I actually do. I do because, you know, no, Moose, he's going to. You know why? They want to piss him off. They want to get him to snap because these media members that cover they're all boys and girls and stick together.
Yeah.
And they're mad at this guy.
They are.
And they want him. They want more from him. They want him to snap.
Their piece of flesh.
Right. Right. Exactly. So he's gonna. No, I don't think he's gonna snap. They're gonna try and get him to snap.
Yeah. And I think now I don't think you're doing your job if you continue to pepper him.
I agree with you on that, but, you know, they can ask whatever they want, as you know.
No, I get it. I get it, Taz, but I also then think I think that's just for your own personal edification. I think if you're going to continue to ask Jason Vargas about it, you know, I don't think the Met fan wants to hear and wake up and read a column about Vargas' apology.
Right, right.
I don't. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think they do.
Right.
I think they want to see what, you know, if they could start to win some games. I think a Met fan would love to see a change in the managerial position. I think there's other things the Met fan would like to read about with this team. Maybe being aggressive, maybe trying to add a bullpen arm to rectify this situation in the bullpen. I don't think they necessarily want to hear about Jason Vargas saying, you know what, I was wrong, I apologize, because you're never going to get it. And I don't think they want to read another story where he decides not to apologize.
Well, listen, think about it. Media, New York media, whoever wants to get an apology out of Vargas, this guy took a $10,000 hit on the chin with no problemo.
Yeah.
So from the New York Mets organization, they probably said, yo, homie, here's the deal. You apologize, okay, or you're getting fined 10 grand. He's like, well, take it out of my pay. So I'm saying he took a $10,000 hit.
He did.
Dude, I don't care how much money you make. It's a good amount of money, 10 grand.
10 grand's a good chunk of change.
You're sticking by your values and morals that you're not apologizing.
Right, correct.
Me, okay, for 10,000, yeah, I'm going to apologize if I don't mean it. You're damn right.
No, you're not. I know you too well. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. You say that in joke. Yeah, you say that in jest. But in reality, I know that if you feel like you're not in the wrong, you're not going to take one for I do know that.
Yeah, you're right.
I do know that.
Yeah,
that's the truth. You're not going to. You'd be like, take the 10 grand. That's fine. I'll light my cigar with the $10,000.
Yeah.
That's basically what you'd say.
I probably would say that, actually. Sounds better when you say it.
Well, me with three kids, that's another story.
Like, what do I apologize? Right, want a written exactly. one? Want verbal? Right. What are you looking for?
Want a written in blood? Let me head to the doctor.
Want a tweet one? What are you looking
for? I need a syringe.
Unwritten anyway. Blood.
So you got that going on with the Mets. And then I guess it's just the sign of the times this weekend. Yankees and Red Sox, Taz, are heading over to England, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to play two games. And they're going to be early, especially if you're on the West Coast. So 1:10 Eastern time on Saturday afternoon. That game is going to be on Fox. And then 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning. That game is on ESPN, so 7 o'clock Pacific time on Sunday morning. You're going to get a two-game set. These are, you know, two Red Sox home games that are now going to be playing over in England as you get a great rivalry, Boston-Yankees, and trying to spread the word about Major League Baseball. We've seen them do it at the start of the year over in Japan. We saw them do it this year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Seattle and Oakland start the year over in Japan. We know how popular of a sport baseball is over in Japan, and how many Japanese athletes, Taz, led by Ichiro,
right,
that have come here and been uber successful on the major league level. Now it's a case of playing a two-game set over in England. Do you love it or hate it?
Absolutely, disgustingly hate it. Okay, and I'll tell you why. Okay, why is it a rivalry? It is a great rivalry. It's one of the best in pro sports, the Red Sox Yankees. You don't have to be a fan of either club to know, or a baseball fan to know, the heat between these two organizations for all these years and how great these games are. But what makes it a great rivalry? What makes it a great rivalry is, besides great players, it's the fan bases. Okay, the fan base is in New York. The fan base is up in Boston. That's what makes it a great rivalry. Not the fan base is in the UK. The hell is that?
It's horrible.
Cheese.
It's a hot take. It's hot cheese.
Yeah, there you go.
I've heard that in months on this show.
What do you got? Play devil's advocate. Play devil's advocate here.
Now, you're a Yankee fan, so this is going to be interesting.
Well,
I'm waiting to hear this.
I'm a Yankee fan. Now, they're not taking two games away from, you know, games in the Bronx, right? I mean, so, but I agree with you. What adds to the rivalry is the atmosphere at Yankee Stadium, is the atmosphere up at Fenway Park.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with any of that. Now, we talk a lot about baseball being too regionalized.
Right.
The interest in baseball being too regionalized, right? The Met fan doesn't care about the trials and tribulations of Mike Trout with the Angels.
No.
There is not that interest like there is in the National Football League as a countrywide interest. It's more a case of, you know, you're interested in what's going on your own block.
Sure.
That's now, baseball's trying to expand their game. They're trying to become a little bit more global, right? They know they've got Asia covered, right?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
They know that, yeah. You know, the sport of baseball in Japan is uber popular. Now it's a case of trying to bring that sport, you know, across the pond over to Europe. And, you know, why is it bad then to try and, you know, reach out your reach and stretch your popularity and try and bring a great rivalry? If you're going to sell baseball over in England, why not it be Boston and the Yankees?
Because this is going to be a big stereotype, but so be it. I mean, I think that the bulk of the folks in the UK, and it's great over there. I mean, they're more focused on cricket, okay? That's their deal. Cricket, I've watched cricket in a hotel room in the UK, in Manchester, in London, sat there for hours with nothing to do in the rain in my room watching cricket, and I could not figure it out, okay? But I digress. I just wanted to get that out there. I don't think that the fan in the UK... Not that they don't know, unless they do their research online, that, okay, the Yankees and the Red Sox have this great rivalry. But it's like, you don't have to, there's no need to bring a great rivalry across the pond. Then have the Yankees against whoever, the Brewers. I mean, I don't know, just.
But if I'm going to sell the sport, I'm going to sell the sport to an audience that's familiar with it, but more familiar with it on the periphery, why would I not then bring the best rivalry in the sport?
Well, I mean, because the rivalry is made in those two stadiums, in the Bronx and in Boston. That's where the rivalry is made. That's what makes the rivalry are the people that are sitting in the stands that are diehard Yankee fans, that are diehard Red Sox fans, that if you're in Fenway and a guy is walking around with a Yankee hat on, you want to throw a beer at him. You know what I mean?
No, like, I get it, but there's also the history. I mean, you look at the history of the two teams on the field, you know, the distinct personalities where, you know, is, you know, David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez, and, you know, you go back way back when, the great home run by Bucky Dent over the Green Monster. There's so much history between these two franchises.
Of course.
I'm just looking at it. Taz, I don't disagree with you in terms of the impact of the fans. And the fans, obviously, hatred of one another adds to the rivalry. But if I'm going to sell the sport, like if I'm selling the NBA... If I'm going to sell the NBA right now,
right,
you know, and I'm thinking about it, you know, what would have, you know, when LeBron was in Cleveland, it would have been Warriors Cavs. If I'm going to sell the NBA,
right,
you know, you can make the argument you'd sell the NBA if you're looking at two historic franchises, it would be Celtics Lakers.
Right.
If I'm going to sell the NBA, you could go in the National Hockey League if you're going to, you know, try and sell the National Hockey League, even though you don't have to do it over in Europe. I mean, the NHL is a European sport; it's uber popular, but I mean, if you're going to look at a great rivalry in the National Hockey League, I mean, it'd be too regionalized, but you look at Rangers-Islanders as a great rivalry. I mean, you could look at certainly, you know, Blackhawks-Blues as a great rivalry. You could look at, you know, Canadiens-Bruins.
Right.
Canadiens-Bruins would be a tremendous a game in which you have two franchises that have got a great history against one another. You go every sport, you know, Cowboys-Redskins, Cowboys-Giants, Cowboys-Eagles, whatever it might be, Ted. There are certainly distinct rivalries that even if you take them out of where they normally play,
right,
the rivalry still stands on its own based on the history between the two franchises. And that's not what the fan base is being there, because it's still Red Sox-Yankees. They could be playing on the moon. It's still Red Sox-Yankees.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Well said. you know, I just it's a hard sell for me.
But as a business model, if you were working in Major League Baseball, you don't think this is a good thing? If you're trying to make more money.
Yeah, you want to expand the reach, as you said.
If you're trying to make more money,
you're going to the London Stadium. It's a huge venue. Yeah, I mean, London's one of the biggest cities in the world. Of course, one of the top cities in the world. So it's not like you're going, no disrespect to Sheffield, England, but it's not like you're going to, Sheffield, which I've been to. It's a great spot, too, but it's not London. I mean, so, yeah, they're going into London. They're going into, this is big time Jones. I got it. I understand. And I think Fox is smart to grab this game. I got it. And I'm curious to see how the ratings off of this. I really am curious to see. But to answer your question, yeah, if you're a front office MLB guy, yeah, it probably feels like a good move instead of doing, you know, the Rays versus, I don't know, the Rangers. You know what I mean? So it's probably a better idea. Do we know how many?
Right.
Yeah, what's that?
No. Rays and Rangers. That's the point.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be nice. 10 a.m. Sunday morning, I'll be much earlier than that. But 10 a.m. Sunday morning, I'm going to flip on ESPN.
Yeah.
Yankee Sox.
I'll check it out, I'll check it out. But here's the thing. What I'm saying is, I should have worded it this way. The expectation, I think, of the allure for Yankees Red Sox, it's not going to feel the same. I understand. That's what I mean. It's not going to feel like that in London.
But Taz, to you and to me, it's not. And I don't disagree with that. It's not going to have the same energy, the same feel, the same vibe, because it's not at Fenway Park. It's not at Yankee Stadium. But if I'm a British baseball fan, Major League Baseball selling me their sport by taking the greatest rivalry in their sport and bringing it to my doorstep.
Well, then you feel like, okay, the MLB is really trying to do the right thing if you're the people across the pond. Yeah, you're feeling that way. And I think there's something like close to 120,000 tickets sold for this thing.
Yeah. It's not like, we're trying to sell you the sport. Here's Marlins Padres.
Right.
All due respect to Miami fans and San Diego fans, you get the point.
Yeah, I get the point. Yeah. I still like rivalries in their own building.
No, I get it.
I'm an American man. You know what I mean? I'm all about America, bro.
I understand.
I'm just an all-American guy. Why is there music playing right now?
We're going to break. 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. What's your take? You agree with Taz? You want to see it stateside? Do you agree with me? That you think it's good for Major League Baseball to bring the greatest rivalry in Major League Baseball. I know if you're a Dodger fan, I know the Giant fan is going to say it's Dodgers. But if you're looking at Yankee Sox, I mean, argument's sake, greatest rivalry in baseball that they're playing this weekend over in England, is it a good thing for the sport? 855-212-4227. Taz Moose on a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Superstar, the man, Becky Lynch, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, this weekend, two huge matchups highlight a second week of Big Three action, along with full coverage of the PGA Tour at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Motown. It all happens on CBS. So we kicked off this hour talking a little baseball, the Vargas scenario, addressing it once again, being asked about it by Dave Lennon of Newsday. After yet another loss last night for the Mets down in Philadelphia, this time in extra innings, Jay Bruce had insult to injury with a walk-off hit for Philadelphia and basically said there's more to the story that's out there. The team has issued a statement. It's over. He's moving on. Is that enough to end this story from a baseball perspective? I mean, the Mets organization's trying to move on, but will those that cover the team move on, and will Jason Vargas have to address it again? And you're going to get Yankees Sox over in England this weekend. Two games, one Saturday, one Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern time, Sunday morning, game gets going. Great rivalry in baseball taken across the pond.
And you, as a Yankee fan, I am surprised that you're okay with this. I am surprised that you're okay with this. I really am.
Why is that? Because I don't want to.
It's a home game for the Red Sox, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes, it's two home games for the Red Sox, correct.
That part, if I was a Yankee fan, would make me happy, because there's really no home field advantage here.
No, there's not. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, Taz, that the atmosphere is the same. I'm not going to tell you. I like seeing, I've seen a lot of games of Yankee Sox up there at Fenway Park, right? So, I'm not going to tell you that it is one and the same, but I also understand that. No, if you're in one of these sports, you're going to want to try and get more money, more revenue streams, right. More interest. You're going to want to try and expand the sport globally. And Major League Baseball, as critical as we are at times, Taz, of them being regionalized, of them not, you know, selling their stars, of them not getting where, you know, you want to try and get to the NFL level and the NBA level where people care about everybody. Hmm. You know, the Knicks fan cares about what's going on in Houston.
Well,
the Nets fan cares about, you know, what happens right. going on in Los Angeles. When you look at the Lakers and the Clippers, you know, they just do an impact. You know, baseball fans, it's not one and the same. It's just not. And baseball's trying to, you know, do their part to try and change that.
Well,
and this might be one of those steps.
It might be. The first thing they should do is baseball. They should figure out and do the right thing and make it safe for all kids and parents and people to show up to games and be safe, okay, and get those nets up everywhere. That's what they should be doing. That's what they should be concerned. I know it's a different topic, but I know we've talked about it a lot here, and you know they got to do something about this and get this thing done. And while teams are on the road, get those home stadiums done. Get the netting up everywhere, every stadium. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not a they have the money. These teams all have money. It's not the money. It's not the construction of it. It doesn't change the stadium. It's a very easy thing for these people to do, for these owners to do. MLB should put a mandate out that that should be done. So make it safe. That's the first thing.
Well, I don't disagree with you there.
You go to an NFL game, you're not worried about getting, you know, hit in the face with a ball. I mean, really. I mean, they put you know, kicking field goals, extra points. They always have the net up. You know, the net goes up, right? So you get the you don't have to worry about that. You go to an NBA game. Well, yeah, maybe, you know, a 6'9" center might fall on you if you're in the front row. But usually you're not going to, you know, have anybody, like, no one's going to get injured at a basketball game. You know, a hockey game. They did with hockey. I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, you're safe at a hockey game. Right or wrong. You know?
Yeah, well, and they've also put up protective netting too.
That's right, for the puck in case it goes over the glass. Right.
Correct.
So anyway, that's just my hot take on that. But here's the thing, though. Back to this UK thing, back to London Stadium with the Red Sox hosting the Yankees there. I'll tell you this: you think there's gonna be more Yankee hats, you know, caps in the audience, or Red Sox?
I'd probably say there's more Yankee fans.
I agree. There's going to be more Yankee hats. Andrew Bogus just walked. Andrew, you think more Yankee hats or Red Sox?
Yankees.
Absolutely. You know why? Because Yankees are a bigger brand than the Red Sox. That might piss off some Red Sox fans, so you could call the show.
Yeah,
like 855-212-4227. What do you think? It's going to be more Red Sox hats, Yankee hats? There's going to be more Yankee hats. That's what I think.
I don't disagree. We're all in agreement.
Yeah, that's rare. That's very rare.
Well, I mean, you asked our opinion, then you said, that's what I think. That's what we all think. Correct?
Well, no. Hold on a second. I said that's You're what like, I think. I'm basically agreeing. Like, I think the same thing. That's what I said.
No.
No, I didn't say that.
You could call to disagree with me.
I didn't say that?
Okay.
All right.
Next question.
My bad. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's all right.
Still your job.
That could happen.
We're all in agreement.
By the way, that Kawhi drop that was played in the first segment of this show, there's a new mandate that drop should not be played in the first segment because it's so disturbing. It's a horrible sound.
I love the laugh.
That early? 6 a.m. Eastern?
Oh, well, it doesn't touch the Dion laugh.
No, the Dion laugh.
Which I...
you said Dion laugh? Hello? What's up, bro? It's a shame Jordan went in prime this gone, bro.
I know, it's really...
That's my show.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
That's my jam. I'm going to miss it,
My
man.
Life will never be the same.
Pete's like, that show stunk. Moose hated it, too.
Yes.
Horrible.
I think that was like the first couple of weeks of our show. You're like, hello.
Can't do our show?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry, I mean, our show.
Let's get to the
All right.
Thank you, Moose.
You corrected yourself after.
It was like, yeah, I can't do my show with my co-host.
I'm used to having my own show.
I understand, Taz. We know the podcast. I know.
Right. But no, the Taz
over
show.
600 yes, episodes.
I know.
700.
I haven't had my own daily show in 2 years. So I'm still not used to it. That's kind of weird, right?
That is a little strange.
And right. I'm on the cusp of 700 episodes of the Taz show.
Almost 1,000.
Hour.
Hour. Well, hello. This is Moose. Well, let me try it again.
Our show. Our.
There's no I in team. Moose, you know me. I'm a team guy. Listen, we're not getting to the woods too deep here. I proved it yesterday electronically.
I proved it yesterday electronically. I understand that's behind the scenes. That's
I know, but that's what matters.
There's other factors as well. I mean, there's.
Please,
it all matters. No,
yeah, it does. You're right. You're right. Come on,
let's go, Andrew. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm sorry, wasting your time, guys. Here's your report. It's sponsored by the National Association of Realtors. Realtors do more than buy and sell homes. They stand up for your right to own one too. That's what realtors do. The Mets bullpen still sucks.
Two looks back at second. Here's the 1-0. Bruce swings and drives it to center. It's deep. Lagares turns. He's going back. Still going back. It's out of his reach and over his head. It's up against the fence. Quinn is coming home. And Jay Bruce has won it. The Phillies walk it off for the first time this year.
5-4 in 10 over those Mets. That was Scott Fransky on Phil's Radio. Fourth straight day, the Mets bullpen blows a late multi-run lead. And again, they lose this one 5-4 in 10 to the Phillies. The Braves were 5-3 winners at Wrigley, and the Mariners 4-2 winners in Milwaukee. Shortstop J.P. Crawford, one triple, two doubles, three RBI. Nelson Cruz, the go-ahead three-run double, bottom seven. His Twins got by the Rays 6-4. The Lakers reportedly have guard D'Angelo Russell atop their free agency wish list. And the Rockets said to be trying to acquire a first-round pick that they can flip to the Sixers in a potential sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler. NFL investigators reportedly met for 8 hours yesterday with Chiefs wideout Tyreek Hill. No other interviews with any other subjects apparently scheduled by the league. Hill faces NFL discipline as he's being investigated by Child and Family Services in KC for possible child abuse. Vanderbilt finished off its recovery against Michigan last night, winning the College World Series in Omaha 8-2. The Wolverines won the opener of this three-game series. U.S. men's soccer 3-for-3 in group play at the Gold Cup. Last night's 1-0 win over Panama in KC sets up a quarterfinal meeting with Curacao on Sunday night in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, in MLS, Wayne Rooney did some showing off.
Pinballs to Rooney. Rooney sees Roelf. Oh! It's in the net! Oh! It's in the net! Can you believe it? It's Wayne Rooney. Of course you believe it.
That's Rooney scoring from apparently 68 yards away over the Orlando FC goalie who had moved upfield, but then his team turned the ball over and Rooney scored. And I believe the call there is from our good friend John Walton.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Washington!
Orlando FC in this case. John of Capitals Radio, that game last night on Sports.
Talk about it, making it about yourself. I mean, really. I mean,
good point, Taz.
I mean,
never make it about ourselves.
No, but hold on a second.
He's a good announcer.
Come on, everybody's great. I know everybody's nice.
Everybody's handsome.
Moose likes everyone. Moose is friends with everybody.
No, I'm not. Does a good. I like it. I know. I was rooting for the cat. I think he does a nice job.
I know, but it's like you can't. And look, when I say it's you can't make it about yourself. Of course, you people, okay, especially one of the guys behind the glass with no hair, okay.
That's Pete
the body. Yes.
Yes.
He's implying that I make it about myself here. Okay? And it's different when you're hosting or co-hosting,
see,
a radio show. Loose, you know this. And then when you're doing play-by-play for a team, when it should be about the players, or doing color commentary for a team, when it's about the players. I know this, Pete, because I've done this.
He's not taking away from the players, though.
Yes, he is. Cap announces it was out of control.
No.
It's like the other guy, like John Sterling with the Yankees. Enough for these guys.
That's his shtick, his thing.
See? His shtick. They shouldn't have shtick. Call the game and go home.
No, Well, you're going to be descriptive in calling and making your call, regardless of sport, no? It's just they had a little style, flair.
Could you play that guy from the Caps again, please? The guy that Moose loves.
Pinballs to Rooney. Rooney sees Roelf.
Fine, so far. Watch.
It's Wayne Rooney. Of course you believe it.
Yeah. before it sounded worse. Was it, did you take something else out of that?
Yeah.
That wasn't
no,
a bad
I did edit it while
you
were...
You did edit it.
I did,
I knew you were editing. Yeah, there was something else in there.
Smoothed it out a little bit.
All right, maybe it wasn't. Maybe I overreacted.
Moose told me what to do.
Sometimes I do overreact.
Right.
Rarely.
Well, thank you. All right.
Sometimes.
All right, great.
At
fantastic.
Times. All right.
Well, it's two different
all
calls.
Right, take it away.
You know that.
Well, that,
right?
I didn't know. Where's the other call, Andrew? You're going to play the call that...
Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night!
To the moment.
Out of control. No need for that. That's what I was pissed off about.
He's playing to the Capitol fans. I mean,
all right, no problem.
Capitol fan loves it.
All right,
they play
all right,
it to the
away.
Moment.
Andrew, you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have an issue with Howie Rose call with the Rangers, the game winner against the Devils? Matteau?
Yes, I did.
Oh, stop. We're going to break. 855-212-4227. That is, please.
I'm an Islander fan.
I know you are. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227 brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So, the story that we're going to follow as it continues to gain more and more momentum, right? The NCAA ratcheting up its opposition to a California bill that will allow college athletes in the state to earn compensation for the use of their own name, image, or likeness beginning in 2023, Taz. So we're a little bit of a ways away from this actually transpiring. It's a bill out there in California. NCAA President Mark Emmer implied that if the bill does become law as it's written, California schools could face the prospect of being prohibited from participating in NCAA championships. That includes 23 NCAA Division I schools, four of which are in the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah, no, yeah, this is, and you nailed it, dude. I mean, this is something that just is going to build more and more momentum. And I tip my cap to the folks in California and the state office and stuff like that and what they're doing here. You know what? I think that, I mean, it's more than past due with the NCAA and what's been going on. I mean, as far as money being made, the billions of dollars that are being made through advertising and through, you know, just TV contracts and everything with collegiate sports under the NCAA's banner. It's insane, but yet the participants, the young men and young women that are competing in said sports are making zero. And most of them are living in almost poverty conditions while they're on full scholarship and their education is paid for. And, you know, if they're upperclassmen, they're living off campus and not in a dorm. They're paying for their own apartment. They're paying for their own food. They're paying for everything. They have the same academic regimen that, you know, a student would have that's not an athlete. And I can tell you, my son, and, you know, as far as, you know, past 2 years as a Division I athlete, it's, you know, the workload is, and he, you know, it's different with lacrosse. It's not as much demand even as, because the money's not made like they do with basketball and football. But the workload is insane.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
It's so hard to balance your academics. And, well, there's study hall. Yeah, there is. Well, they have tutors. Yeah. Yeah, they have one tutor for a whole team, like someone who goes on the road and makes sure that, okay, you have a paper due, make sure you do it. And it's like, okay, end of the day, the pressure's on that kid. Anyway, the bigger picture is the money not being made. The man or woman that is selling at an NCAA Division I basketball game, selling, that works the concession stand, is making more money than the star, you know, point guard. You know what I mean? Like, then the star quarterback at a stadium.
Yeah, that's going to change.
It really does.
No, and I don't disagree with you. And now the Emmert's asking for the postponement of this bill continuing to advance to where then it would become law, right, as it's presently written. But the idea of banning California schools now from competing for NCAA championships?
That's messed up. Yeah.
Here's the problem the NCAA needs to understand here. Times are changing.
Right.
The old system is not going
to
work.
And they don't want it to change.
And they don't want it. No, no, of course.
It hurts their pocket.
They want more of more.
That's right.
I mean, they don't want to give up revenue.
No, they don't.
You know, they want to continue to hide upon this idea of the college athlete, right? That you're not getting the money other than these stipends and everything like that. And Taz, they've got to come to the understanding with the amount of revenue coming in, with the amount of money they're making, that coaches are making. The players are the assets. They're the ones that people watch.
Absolutely. They got to figure out a system. They're going to have no choice in the NCAA. Time is up.
Jason Terry next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.